Teradata.com.
And support for WMNF comes from our members in Live Nation, presenting Trevor Noah's first ever arena run with Loud and Clear Tour 2019. The Daily Show host and celebrated comedian performs at the Yuengling Center on January 20th. More at Ticketmaster.com. And we are so grateful to those who made our fall fun drive a success. If you pledge to pay by check, or if you need to return your Circle of Friends paperwork, please send it Gene Moore's way, or call him at 813-238-8001. And again, thank you. Good afternoon. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is community radio from West Central Florida, and you're listening to Executive Session each day Monday through Thursday at this time. You and I take a look at what's happening in the White House and around the executive branch of your United States government, because they work for you. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each Monday through Thursday. We welcome all viewpoints in our conversation. Civility is required. We're kind of checking out whether or not we might do better if, instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Miss Jan Simpson will answer your call. She's going to want to know your first name, where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about your conversation. Get you ready to step in here and have your say. If you have never called before, you are certainly welcome to do so. If something comes up that gets you energized, or that something that you know something about, something you've had an experience about, and you haven't heard that experience viewed or aired in the conversation, by all means, call us at 813-239-9663. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. It's a good idea to put your name in there, otherwise we have to talk to you as though you are an area code. You can search for Executive Session on Facebook. You can like and follow the page. We post material on there on a regular basis. Often the subject matter for the session will be there, and a lot of times we have discussions that take place on the Facebook page, and a lot of times there are links posted there to specific material that doesn't really work that well to read them on the radio. So what we're going to do is we're going to open the session today with just a few minutes from Stephen Colbert last night on the Saudis and the 60 Minutes interview on Sunday.
Saudi Arabia is planning to admit that Jamal Khashoggi's death was the result of an interrogation that went wrong. Let me ask an obvious question. Any interrogation that includes 15 men and a bone saw, how's that go right? This is one of the most disturbing violations of human rights in recent memory. And yet, Donald Trump is bending over backwards to find excuses for Saudi Arabia. So why is he doing it? Possibly because he just sold them $110 billion worth of weapons, and he doesn't want to give up the deal.
Everybody in the world wanted that order. Russia wanted it. China wanted it. We wanted it. We got it.
So would you cut that off?
I'll tell you what I don't want to do. Boeing, Lockheed, Raytheon, all these I don't want to hurt jobs. I don't want to lose an order like that.
Look, it took me forever to seal the deal. I threw in leather seats and the undercoating. Look, I shouldn't have done it. My manager is going to kill me. Not Saudi Arabia kill me, but still pretty bad.
Now, that quote just there, where he was talking about this, that quote you just heard right there, that was part of a 60 Minutes interview that Trump did last night. He sat down with Leslie Stahl for a wide-ranging discussion that included topics like global warming, and at one point, Trump denied that he was a denier.
I'm not denying climate change, but it could very well go back. You know, we're talking about over millions of years. They say that we had hurricanes that were far worse than what we just had with Michael.
Who says that? They say.
You mean people say that.
Yes, Leslie. People, they say it. And as we know, Trump gets all the latest scientific information from the proceedings of the National Academy of people who say that. Okay? Read it sometime. But Trump isn't just a climate denier. He's also a Kim Jong-un is a bad dude denier.
He presides over a cruel kingdom of repression, gulags, starvation, reports that he had his half-brother assassinated, slave labor, public executions. This is a guy you love.
I know all these things. I mean, I'm not a baby.
Trump did admit that Russia meddled in the 2016 election, not to help him, of course.
Do you really think I'd call Russia to help me with an election? Give me a break. They wouldn't be able to help me at all. Call Russia. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, why would he call them when he could just do this?
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Oh, you never let us down, past Donald Trump. His comments age like a banana you forgot in your backpack. Leslie Stahl pressed the president on the turmoil in his administration, specifically asking whether General Mattis would be stepping down anytime soon.
What about General Mattis? Is he going to leave?
Well, I don't know. He hasn't told me that. I have a very good relationship with him. It could be that he is. I think he's sort of a Democrat, if you want to know the truth. But General Mattis is a good guy. We get along very well. He may leave. I mean, at some point, everybody leaves.
So sad.
Yeah, it's very dark.
It's so sad.
Dark thing to say.
Everybody leaves in the end. We are but dust. The stars blindly run. For each of us begin dying the moment we are wrenched from our mother's womb. What is life but a difficult birth astride of a grave? Bottom line, everything's going great.
All right, a few minutes to Stephen Colbert's comments on Saudi Arabia and the 60 Minutes interview from Sunday. Now, as we adjourned the executive session yesterday here on WMNF and WMNF.org, we turned to a subject that seems to have gotten lost in all the day-to-day chaff that is the executive branch in this administration. Before we go on, I want to read you a definition. This is just something to keep in mind as we go along. This is a definition. A camp where persons such as prisoners of war, political prisoners, or refugees are detained or confined. Now, Fortune magazine has published an article, they're going to give you some excerpts here. Nearly 12,800 immigrant children are currently being detained by the U.S. government, a record high figure spread across 100 federally contracted shelters. Camps where persons such as prisoners of war, political prisoners, or refugees are detained or confined. That's five times higher than the amount held in May of last year, according to the New York Times. 2,500 of those children arrived with their families and were separated under the administration's zero tolerance policy. The law that allows for those separations was in place in the previous administration. This administration implemented it in a zero tolerance policy earlier this year in an attempt to deter immigration across the southern border. Now, the reason I bring this up now is that the Trump administration may be considering re-implementing the zero tolerance policy that has already resulted in the separation of thousands of children from their parents, leaving some of them as de facto orphans since their parents have been deported and there's no means for reuniting the families. Here is the president answering Leslie Stahl's question in his interview on 60 Minutes Sunday.
What about the forced separation of children from their migrant children?
Yeah,
from
well, that was the same as the Obama law. You know, Obama had the same thing.
It was on the books, but he didn't enforce it. You enforced it. You launched that the zero tolerance policy to deter families with children.
No, but then everybody decided, and the courts don't want separation. And frankly, when you don't do separate, when you allow the parents to stay together, okay? When you allow that, then what happens is people are going to pour into our country.
So are you going to go back to that?
Well, we're looking at a lot of things. Really, what we want to do is change the immigration laws because they're a laughing stock all over the world.
Are you willing, though? I think you're saying it's under consideration.
No, I want all the laws changed. There have to be consequences, Leslie, for coming into our country illegally. And part of the reason I have to blame myself, the economy is so strong that everybody wants to come into the United States.
Can I just ask this simple question, yes or no?
Go ahead.
Are you willing to reinstitute that policy? You said we're looking at everything.
You can't say yes or no. What I can say is this. There are consequences from coming into a country, namely our country, illegally.
I'm not going to ask it again.
You don't have to. Okay. But it's the same as Obama.
So what do you think? Is there a better way to handle this? What should be done with people who are fleeing dangerous conditions in their own countries? Join the conversation, 813-239-9663. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sound and great. Those were the days.
And we are in executive session for a Tuesday afternoon talking about the administration's handling of people who cross the southern border, specifically the southern border, and the possibility and the fact that the president was not willing to simply say, no, we are not going to reinstitute the policy of taking children away from their families. Now, there are some 500, in excess of some 500 children that the court has ordered the Trump administration to reunite with their families that are still in custody. And by the way, that definition, that's Merriam-Webster's definition of concentration camp. 813-239-9663. Thomas in Palmetto, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, good afternoon, man. So I just wanted to reference that Stephen Colbert thing first and just kind of like, you know, really say thank you to Elizabeth Warren for having the courage to go out there and get that DNA test in Trump's face, because now I really feel empowered because I'm like an American Sicilian and I did my DNA test a while ago and I think I'm like 7% African.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to give a shout out to all my Negroes out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, giving me the courage at my 7%. You know, I definitely identify as being black now. So thank you, Elizabeth.
That's up to you, my friend. And she didn't identify as an Indian, by the way. She said she had Indian heritage.
Yeah, she's 99.99.867 Caucasian.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so
she has Indian heritage, the same way you have African heritage.
Actually, no, I have about 10 times more African
heritage. Oh, you have more African heritage. Well, that's good.
And the Cherokee Nation came out and completely denounced her.
Yeah, I heard about that. Wait a minute. Before we go any farther than that, did you read what the Cherokee Nation said?
Yes, I did.
Okay, tell us about that, okay?
Well, I don't really want to just start going into it because I can't say it word for word. I don't want to just...
Okay, but you read it, and you can give us a paraphrase. Just as accurately as you can from your memory, what did the Cherokee Nation have to say to Elizabeth Warren about her revealing that she does indeed have the Native American heritage that she claimed?
I don't really want to go into it. I just remember they angered her. They were angered because it was a politically fought DNA test.
It was a what?
They issued a statement. That's not even the whole point. You're trying to bait me, Susan. Why don't you, if you know what they said, why don't you just say
I don't. That's why I asked you. See, I have this odd habit, Thomas. If I don't know something, I ask somebody about it, especially if they have started talking about it.
Okay, well, it said basically, if I remember correctly, that they said a DNA test is useless to determine distinguish whether if a person is ancestors in the North or South American sovereign tribe. Mm. Started off with something along the lines of that, and they called it inappropriate and wrong, and it was a mockery of the tribal nations.
Okay,
something along those lines.
So that's the Cherokee Nation issuing their statement on the on Elizabeth Warren's conversation.
Man, I give Elizabeth Warren props, man. Listen, hey, I'm black, baby. And I was always good at basketball. I never understood why. Thank you, Elizabeth. Now, moving on to the whole idea of what you guys are doing about this entire week. You still don't get it. Dude, he's at 51% approval because of the stupid people like Stephen Colbert. Obama gave Iran $5.7 billion.
Of their own money.
Iran is not a peaceful nation. Okay, Hillary accepted millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia during the campaign. This is politics, and this is the way it works.
The money that you heard that people keep talking about Hillary Clinton accepting from the Saudis actually went to the Clinton Foundation, and the Clinton Foundation's the Clinton Foundation's books and their entire financial records are wide open. Where is Donald Trump's tax records?
Okay, I'm out here playing comparison. This isn't a shouting match. I'm just pointing out the simple hypocrisy that has destroyed our party that I always talk to you about. And now moving forward with the immigration problem, here's another issue. No one really wants to talk. If you propose an idea, what should we do? Now, I would like to hear the guests for the remainder of the day talk about what we should do and not go on this incredible, just hysterical rant about how terrible Trump is. So whoever's out there, I challenge you guys who are liberal, open-minded, logical thinkers to suggest ideas on how to curb this.
All right, Thomas, good. Listen, thank you very much. And what I'm going to do is I am going to repeat the questions that I closed the... this is a funny thing to say. That I closed the opening with, okay? Because you've brought them up again. Listen, thank you very much. I appreciate your passion, and I appreciate your clarity, and I really hope we get to talk again.
All right, bye, man.
Sure enough. Since Thomas posed these questions, these are the questions that I asked just before we went to the phones. What do you think? Is there a better way? What should be done with people who are fleeing dangerous conditions in their own countries? And then asked you or invited you to dial 813-239-9663. Talk to Jan Simpson. Give her your name. Give her your location. And she'll get you ready to step right in here and join this conversation. And right now we're going to talk to Jerry in Spring Hill. Good afternoon, Jerry in Spring Hill. You are in executive session here on Tuesday afternoon.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
So far, so good. You know, could go either way.
I love to listen to the rhetoric about, you know, immigration.
Mm.
You know, there's legal immigration and there's illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't know is that we have different policies depending upon where someone's coming from.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, if you're a Cuban refugee and you make it to U.S. soil, you're granted asylum.
That's right. If your foot hits dry land, you're here.
Right. If you are Haitian, though, then you get boxed up and sent back.
That's right.
Okay? And I know this because I'm retired from the Coast Guard, and I did alien migration interdiction.
Really? Where were you in the Coast Guard?
Through all of Florida.
Yeah. I did 4 years from 66 to 70 and mustered out off the Dauntless down in Miami.
Well, we opened. I was on the Dauntless for a while. My largest command was Steadfast.
Yeah.
We opened the camps in Gitmo with Haitian refugees.
Yeah.
We were one of the vessels that was out there with a couple thousand refugees.
Yeah.
A crew of 100 or so.
Yeah.
But I think what needs to be understood is we've always had a policy, and you know the policies are either enforced or not enforced depending upon who's in office at the time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. prosecutorial discretion or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, especially here in the state of Florida, you know, I mean, we absorb all the cost of all the refugees who come into Florida. Florida absorbs that cost 100%, you know, and in the first 48 hours of someone stepping on soil, we're spending upwards of $10,000-$15,000 in health checks, getting them documented and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this has been going on for years and years and years. I can say for all of the 90s that I was physically involved with it.
Yeah.
You know? And the whole idea of, you know, if it's a family coming in, and I'm going to say point blank, there are always those who are looking for political asylum and are justified.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm.
But that percentage, based on the 10-plus years I did it, was less than 4% of all refugees that we brought on board were granted political asylum.
So the way that it turned, okay, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. So there were people who came in and they were actually seeking asylum.
Correct.
And they were processed.
Correct.
They went through the due process and had their hearing, and I never can remember what the name of that hearing is. It's something about whether or not you have a genuine.
Well, there's pre-checks that are done during the intervention process.
Yeah.
That point the person or parties to the avenue of being granted the right to go to those meetings.
Yeah.
And get processed for asylum, or just repatriate.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I was wondering. So the outcome, what I heard you say, I want to check this out. The outcome at the other end, after the due process, after all the vetting and all the stuff that happened, was it 4% of the people who came in or 4% of the people who applied were granted asylum?
The people who left their country.
Got it. Okay.
So they made it to the end. About 4% were granted asylum.
Okay.
Now, about 60 to 70% of them were criminals that were being dumped from prisons from the other country that were basically told, get out of the country.
Hmm.
So I understand that there's a lot of debate over the children and this, that, and the other. Simple fix. If it's a repatriate, then repatriate all of them, the entire family, at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That makes sense to me, to keep the family together, and if you can't come in here, you and your kids. But see, that's the thing. That's the other thing.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
When you're talking numbers of 60% of violent criminals that are exiting that country, you don't want to put a family that is trying to find a better country with a criminal who may be a rapist or a murderer and things like that.
That seems to make good sense.
Vicinity, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I understand why they separate children. We do that because it's a humanitarian thing to do. But at the time that the process starts, you know, it's not difficult to say, you know, this family is a family. So if mom and dad are being sent back, then the kids should go back with them.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to close. We're going to move on for just a little bit. And I want to, your fundamental experience, if I understood you correctly, was in the 7th District. That's Florida. And that what you were dealing with was people who were, leaving Hispaniola and leaving Cuba like that, right?
And Haiti, correct. And
yeah.
Dominican Republic, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, thanks. Listen, I appreciate that. That's a viewpoint that we haven't heard before, and obviously thank you for your service, and with any luck, we'll get to talk again. Sure enough. All right, 813-239-9663. We are going to take a quick break here and come right back and rejoin this conversation. Joe and Dylan and Amy, we see you there on the line. There are lines open. You can reach us at 813-239-9663.
WNF has assembled two tribute shows for Aretha Franklin, featuring the best soul and R&B vocalists and musicians in the area.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Two beautiful venues befitting a queen. Sunday, October 28th at the Palladium Theater in St. Petersburg. And Monday, October 29th at the Manatee Performing Arts Center in Bradenton.
You better take
the WMNF tribute to Aretha Franklin. Go to WMNF.org for tickets.
Yeah, and support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, a locally owned full-service footwear store featuring Birkenstock, Kenko, massage sandals, and many other name brands. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear fashion to provide relief to people with foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. Support for WMNF also comes from our members and WEDU PBS. WEDU will honor nonprofit organizations and volunteers during the WEDU Be More Awards. Applications and nominations will be accepted through October 30th. Information is online at WEDU.org/BeMore. All right. Thank you for your patience. Those are some folks that are alongside you in supporting your community radio station, and a little information about some place you could go and sit down and enjoy a tribute to Aretha Franklin. Back to the phones now. We're going to go to, let me see here, we're going to go to Dylan. Good afternoon. You are in executive session. You have the floor.
Hey there. How are we doing today?
We, as far as I know, are doing okay.
Fantastic.
That's a highly localized opinion and may not apply in your case.
Oh, no, I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
One thing I wanted to touch on was something you said earlier. You mentioned that a lot of people have the idea that these immigrants are coming into and taking these jobs from legal citizens of the United States.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that, but I remember hearing about it.
Well, right. Well, I heard it on earlier on executive sessions. But anyway, what I wanted to mention was I did read an article published by either Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal that mentions, you know, how certain countries overseas are realizing that they are giving, you know, visas to people that are extremely intelligent and performing at high levels, and they end up coming over to the U.S. Now, these people with these visas, they end up going to college, they get a great education, and then, boom, they end up in Silicon Valley.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, Silicon Valley is, you know, highly developed. They're bringing in tons and tons of money. Now, my position, I'm not saying that we, in terms of immigration, I'm not saying that we need to let everybody in, but I'm just saying to consider the fact that some of these immigrants, if given the proper tools to succeed, especially within the United States, could possibly provide some sort of forward movement in our economy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that hasn't already happened, but I definitely think that given the right tools, some of these children that are trying to escape might have a better view of life than some others. They might have, you know, ideas of hardships and things like that that might push them to do better, you know, things like that. But I definitely think that we shouldn't pass up on the opportunity to accept some of these people in.
Yeah. Now, well, you know, one of the things that might be interesting to do, just for giggles, is to do a search on innovations in America by people who were immigrants. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's too complicated a search to do. Maybe that's how come my search engine always looks always looks like a ball of twine. I don't know, but I would be interested to know, because I think that there are. I think you're right. I think there are a lot of very intelligent people who come here, and if they're given access to the ladder, they climb it.
Right. Absolutely. And I think I'm not saying, as I said before, to let everybody come in, because we simply don't have the capacity to do such, but we do have the power to have that stronger vetting process. And as the gentleman Jerry said before you took the break, you know, some countries are allowed to come in while others are not, granted asylum. But I definitely think that that would definitely be worth considering.
There you go. All right, listen, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Thank you much for your time.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you in direct contact with Jan Simpson, and she will get you ready to step in here and have your say in executive session this afternoon, as will Joe in St. Petersburg. Good afternoon, Joe. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Good afternoon, John. First of all, I'd like to say I wish some of your callers were running the country rather than Donald Trump. At least they're coming up with some good ideas. I've heard some great ideas.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump, all he does is say, you'll ask him a question and he'll say, the laws need to be changed, but he doesn't say what changes he wants to make.
Yeah.
And here we have people, regular, everyday people,
I don't know. He was pretty clear about that Muslim thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he was. Yes, he was. That he was. But as the last caller said, you know, some of these Muslims come into the country and they do get tech jobs and research in medicine. They do research in medicine. And they're often good people to have over here. Why not let them in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, just because you can't keep saying Obama did it and have that be an excuse. By the way, when Obama was in office, the influx of immigrants coming from the South into this country actually was at an all-time low. And you can fact check that.
Yeah, and he was credited with, I mean, he was nicknamed the deporter-in-chief for a while there. He was throwing people out of here as fast as he could get them out. So,
well,
you know.
Yeah, but that's one of the ways you could, one of the ways you could deal with it.
Yeah.
Send them back, but send them back as, like that gentleman from the Coast Guard said, send them back as an entire family.
Yeah.
But the last caller said, hey, why not educate these people, take them in here, educate them, give them a chance. As, you know, my people were. I come from immigrants. I'm only second generation.
There is no human being on this continent, Joe, none, not one, that is not descended from an immigrant at some point or another.
Well, here's the idea that I wanted to put out. You probably won't like this one. We send a lot of money over to the Middle East, and we send troops to the Middle East where we don't. That's way, way far away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we send people to Honduras, which is right, which is our neighbor? They're in our hemisphere. This is where a lot of these people are coming from, Honduras and countries like that, where it's gotten pretty much out of hand. And some of the stories that I've heard from some of the immigrants that want to escape there are real horror stories.
Yeah.
Why can't we take that money and those troops or whatever, those people, that doesn't necessarily have to be troops, why can't we take our own hemisphere and cure what's going on in our own hemisphere instead of trying to cure what's going on 50,000 miles away from us where we really have no business being?
It's a very, very interesting idea, Joe, and especially in as much as there is currently, apparently, what is being called a caravan of people headed north through Central America from Honduras. And the president, the administration's response to that is, you guys need to stop that or we are going to cut off all aid to Honduras. Okay? Now, it seems to me like your idea has a lot of merit. If why don't we exert some energy looking at why these folks feel they need to flee their homes?
Exactly. And try and help, you know, help those people down there get a better way of life by exerting what we're exerting in the Middle East, what we're doing there.
Well, I would hope that we don't do in Central America what we've been doing in the Middle East. I would hope we might come up with a slightly more civil approach.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. But we would put our energies there.
Yeah.
Be the same. But we would put our energies into our own hemisphere, into people that are our neighbors.
Yeah. And all right.
Try to do things from within, so to speak.
Thank you very much. That is a very interesting viewpoint. And once again, I would invite you to call back at some point. We will talk again.
Okay, thanks.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. What if we exerted the same kind of energy in this hemisphere at healing or fixing or just managing whatever it is that people in the Central American countries are fleeing? Because a lot of those people are fleeing very dangerous conditions. They are fleeing conditions where their daughters are raped, where their sons are recruited into gangs, where there are drug cartels and street gangs at war with each other. Can you imagine what would it take if you're a mom, you're a dad, what would it take for you to take your preteen children on foot and walk through Central America to get away from the situation around your home? What would have to be going on around your home in order for you to literally take what's on your back and what you can carry and walk the length of Central America to try and reach safety and freedom? It's an interesting question. And speaking of interesting questions, what do you got to say, Mike?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mark from the earlier show, but I asked you, Obama cut $1 trillion out of social programs when he first came into office.
Say that again?
Obama cut $1 trillion out of social programs when he first came into office.
No, I didn't know that. And I'm not at all sure that I'm not at all sure. I would be very interested to know where your sourcing is for such an assertion.
Well, I got it right here. It's a paper called Justice, and it's put out by one of the anti-Catholic parties.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Justice, the Struggle for Solidarity and Socialism.
Okay.
And it says that he had a debt reduction bill that was to cut $2.5 trillion out of social programs over 10 years, but $1 trillion worth of it was take effect immediately.
I got to tell you something, Mike. That is, I watched the Obama administration fairly carefully, and I don't remember such a thing. But I appreciate you putting out the sourcing for it, because it gives people an opportunity to check. I have this kind of fun thing that I do where I take the source of material and I look at it, and there's an outfit that fact checks media, and they'll tell you they will place a media outlet someplace on a scale between extreme left and extreme right, and tell you what their record is for factual reporting. So now that you have given people the opportunity by naming the source, there are folks who can go and take a look and fact check the source, because those things are very interesting to do. And there's a lot. Then the other thing is, I'm not sure what relevance it has to the conversation that we're having, that Obama, the assertion that Obama did something what had to be at least 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, just to point out, Obama thought the progressive poor working class charge that he's made out.
No, Obama's like most presidents. He's a mixed bag. There are a lot of stuff that I don't think I'll ever get over that he did. And it's a matter for your individual. I mean, that's why there's chocolate and vanilla, so that we can all have the ice cream that we like. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right, Mike, listen, thank you very much. I always like to talk to you, and I appreciate you calling.
All right. thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you in here to talk to Miss Jan Simpson. Adam and Elizabeth and Brenda, we see you there on the line. We are going to take a quick break. I'm going to tell you some stuff about what's going on and some other stuff about who else is supporting your radio station.
Damon Fowler has a great new album, The Whiskey Bayou Session, produced by Tab Benoit. WMNF is presenting the Damon Fowler album release party. And it's a cool double bill with the Nighthawks, the legendary Washington, D.C. blues and rock and roll band. Two blues rock and WMNF favorite bands, the Damon Fowler Band and the Nighthawks, at Skipper Smokehouse, Saturday, October 20th.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Creative Loafing. Now, Creative Loafing, the Florida Beef Council, is presenting the Tampa Bay Burger Week, featuring local Tampa area restaurants from October 18th through the 28th. More at TampaBayBurgerWeek.com. Also, support for WMNF comes from our members in Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes 1,800 gallons of water to produce a pair of jeans? And when those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. And back to the conversation. We have been talking about the immigration circumstance that we find ourselves in. We heard on Economic Update earlier today that the number of people that they consider undocumented in the country is 12 million in a population of 330 million. And whether or not it is a ludicrous notion that 12 million people can cause the kind of disruption that is being attributed to undocumented immigrants. Also, it's important to keep in mind that the undocumented part of that includes people who came to the country with visas. They came here. They came here with work visas. They came here with student visas. They came here with tourist visas. They came here with visas. And they overstayed their visa. You didn't sneak in here. They didn't tunnel in. You didn't, you know, drop out of airplanes or black helicopters. They arrived with visas, and they just didn't go home. And so there is a substantial number of such aliens that are here because not because they committed a misdemeanor and crossed the border in the wrong place, but that they overstayed their visas. So, and we go right back to Brenda in Nokomis. Good afternoon, Brenda. You are in executive session this afternoon. You have the floor.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Barely. Get close to your phone and walk over by a window.
Well, I'm on the car and it won't let me do that.
Okay, well, just in that case, just stay safe.
Just like Trump, but to the point, we all know that he's dumb as a box of rocks, so let's don't talk about him. It's worthless. But I would like to ask that gentleman that called in a while back, where on earth did he get his statistics that 60% of people in this country from other countries are rapists or murderers? Where on earth did he get that number from? Can he back that up?
I'm actually not altogether certain that that's what he said, but I'm very clear that that's what you heard. and I also understand why you would want further sourcing for that.
Well, the reason being is, I don't know about you, but everyone that I know all my life have been from all over the place, and I have not met one person from another country in my neighborhood, in my town, that's been a murderer or rapist any more than the people here in the United States. That's number one. And I don't understand. First, does anyone know where Trump's wife is from?
Slovenia.
Okay. You think he'd have a little more compassion, but that's out of the question, number two. And it's awful strange that the gentleman now that's been killed and probably chopped up, he did not even know if he's a citizen. So
right.
I guess we really need to get out there and vote to get him out of Dodge. But is there anything else as citizens we can do? Because the Republicans could care less. If he killed someone, they'd make up an excuse for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brenda. With a little bit of research, I am absolutely sure that you could find places that you could apply your energies if you wanted to. There are places that you can support where you can contribute. There are, and where the rubber meets the road, as we so frequently say here in executive session, is in the voting booth.
Well, I do. I go stand there, and we are classy. The Democrats are there. We just ask everybody that's going to the shopping center, please go vote. There's no cursing. There's no screaming. But it just doesn't seem to matter. And literally, I've asked many of my friends that happen to be Republican. That's their business. We're always going to have some Republicans. We're always going to have Democrats. But we've never had a mental patient as a president.
I think that's a little harsh, but okay.
No, it's not. You know the truth. He is mental, but that's just not me saying this. He is. And another thing, for the Republicans, I want to know, the ones that do go sit in church, not that I'm a goody two-shoes, and they're sitting there representing their church, and in the church, there's a Ten Commandments. There's no lying. There's no adultery, and their present is that, and I can't give them the same. But why do you vote for someone that's such a low life?
You know what? It is a question. It is a question worth having a discussion with some very, very friendly evangelical. Thank you very much for your comments this afternoon.
I just wanted to know because I think we please get out there and vote because nobody cares. One more thing.
Quick.
This, to me, how would you like to be going into the biggest operation of your life? And they tell you, this person has never even been in the operating room. This person has never been a doctor or anything. But maybe the people around him will help you get through the operation. Well, that's Trump in office.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much for your comments. Your viewpoint has been well heard, and we will talk again. Stay safe out there on the road. 813-239-9663. By the way, invite you very strongly to stay with us after the session for It's the Music at 2 o'clock. There is going to be lots and lots going on today on It's the Music, more than I could ever tell you about, but included in the lots and lots that's going on is a pair of tickets for JJ Gray and Mofro this Sunday at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. Nancy's going to have you some tickets. She's going to have you some music. She's going to take you through the afternoon and deliver you unto the traffic jam whereby you can find your way home. And we are right on the very threshold of the lightning round here. We're going to go and talk to Elizabeth. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. You're in executive session, but you knew that.
Thank you, John. Let me throw a name out here and see if I am correct. Wernher von Braun.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't he a German engineer that either asked to come on our side at World War II, or we recruited him to come on our side.
Yeah, we had a little thing with the Soviets where somehow we, and I'm not exactly sure what the mechanism was, but we kind of divvied up the rocket scientists from the Nazi rocket programs.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
And Werner was among those that landed in the U.S.
Yeah, I knew he was an immigrant from somewhere, and somehow I just didn't quite remember.
Yep.
Thank you.
He was
reminding me of how. Well,
yeah.
I guess he was better on our side than theirs.
Well, in the domain of intercontinental ballistic missiles, it's always good to have a guy. It's always good to have the best guy on your team.
Exactly.
I think. Just a personal opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, well, I won't hold you up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. We'll talk
again.
See
you later, alligator.
Okay. All right, but here we are in the lightning round, and we are going to go and talk to Adam in Sarasota. Good afternoon. How's it down there in Sarasota this afternoon?
It is sunny and fine.
Ooh, good.
I'll try to make this quick. But
go for it.
A couple of comments about political asylum.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is from Honduras. When he first came to the U.S., he tried to get political asylum because he was literally fleeing violence.
Mm-hmm.
Right after he left, his dad was shot and left for dead. Luckily, he lived. He ended up having to move his family in Honduras. But anyhow, he didn't get political asylum because it's very hard to get. It's actually a very tricky thing to prove that you are being politically persecuted.
Yeah, there's actually a hearing you have to go through, isn't there?
Yeah, and you have to, you know, there's various steps, and like one of the callers said, only 4% of the people that he saw ended up getting that, and that doesn't surprise me at all, because that's just not something that they dole out to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strenuous process, and it kind of goes to another point I'd like to make, which is, so he came to my brother-in-law, this is, he came to the U.S., he stayed illegally, and then ended up marrying my sister and trying to apply for citizen process to get a green card.
Yeah.
And that is another process that people do not understand how difficult it is. So even if you don't have a criminal record, you're a able-bodied person, you work, you know, he worked 3 jobs, and it was very difficult to go through that process. And so then the question becomes, well, if legal immigration is so difficult that no one can get it, guess what you get? Illegal immigration.
I see. Yeah, so if you make it nearly impossible to do it legally, people are going to do it illegally.
Absolutely. Because
I see what you're saying.
To stem the tide of immigrants. Until this country becomes worse than all of the countries we're describing, people are always going to want to come here. And if they can't do it legally, they will do it illegally. And nothing, no amount of wall, no amount of taking their children away from them is going to scare that out of them, because where they're coming from is so much worse that they're going to take that risk.
All right. Listen, thank you for your viewpoint. I appreciate it. That's a very near, you know, you've been very close to the situation, much closer than most Americans have. And I appreciate you bringing that into the session. Thank you very much. Sure enough. All right. And we're going to go and talk to Matthew. Matthew, are you there? Let me try that again. Are you there, Matthew?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Traveling from Minnesota, are we?
Yes, down in the Tampa region to do a little bit of work.
All right. Well, good for you. Welcome to the session. Welcome to the Tampa Bay area.
Well, thank you very much. So I'll just make a quick point because I know you're short on time.
Yep.
The 12 million illegal immigrants. So has anybody ever put the thought? They're paying into Social Security, generally speaking, with fake Social Security numbers, which means they're building up funds. They're building up Social Security, Medicare, things of that nature.
Right.
That they ultimately never get to claim.
Yeah, they can't get back.
No, but no one ever looks at it. And I mean, I don't vote Republican or Democrat. I vote whoever I think's the smartest. But let's take something into consideration. Why isn't anybody on both sides, on either side, rather? Why haven't they ever talked about where these people's money is at?
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. And you're right. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything about that.
No, and why not? No, my great-grandmother was an immigrant from Germany. And you know what? She came in here and she assimilated to this culture and fit in. And now we're instructing people to not assimilate, to not try to match the culture, you know. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. And that's our own doing, not the immigrant.
Yep. All right, listen.
The people I've came across.
Okay. All right, I'm not. I just clicked on something and something disappeared. It's something that I wanted. Listen, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your viewpoint. And listen, you stay safe, and I hope your work all works out, and that you have a lovely winter up there in beautiful Minnesota. All right, that's going to be it for the session this afternoon. Thank you very much for your participation. We'll be back tomorrow with an episode of Everyday Ethics, and I don't know what it's going to be about, but you and I will have a conversation about it.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.